Second Chronicles 31. The first verse reads, "Now when all this was finished, all Israel that were present went out to the cities of Judah and brake the images in pieces and cut down the groves and threw down the high places and the altars out of all Judah and Benjamin, in Ephraim also and Manasseh, until they had utterly destroyed them all. Then all the children of Israel returned, every man to his possession, into their own cities." Amen. Thus far we read the Word of God. And our theme this evening is continuing signs of life. Continuing signs of life. We must not forget that the books of Chronicles were to spur on the exiles from Babylon many generations later. But these books were written in the time of Ezra, and possibly by him, to stir up the people as they were becoming rather lethargic and complacent in the rebuilding of the temple. And it has a specific purpose in view. And so it's not just a repetition of what you have in Kings. It's specially tailored, the parts of the history that are given, in order to stir up the people all those generations later. So this chapter gives some pointers to the way ahead in Ezra's day, and indeed in ours. What is noticeable is that it gives ample evidence of continuing signs of spiritual life. After the great events of the previous chapter, especially the great Passover feast in chapter 30, it wasn't a matter of a great day and then going back to normal. There were lasting effects. Sometimes it is otherwise. Sometimes there can be great commotion and then things just go back to square one. In the former generation, the great Billy Graham Crusades in England, great claims were made, revival was just round the corner, there was a great stir, but when they were over, things went largely back to normal and there was little lasting fruit. And the work of the Spirit of God produces lasting fruit. The long haul tells us what is genuine and when seed has fallen on good ground. And of course that's even quite apart from man-made innovations in brought in and mixed in with the preaching of the truth. Even when that isn't the case, there can still be stirrings which don't have the lasting fruit that one might be looking for. But in this case, it did last. So first of all, negative reformation essential. Negative reformation essential. Verse 1. The devotion expressed at the Passover led to a holy intolerance of false religion. Whilst we must always keep within the lawful bounds of the authority God has given us, and this doesn't give us a warrant to randomly demolish idolatry, we must stick within our lawful bounds. Yet it does show that although confined to what is lawful, nevertheless, when there is a genuine work of the Spirit, when we love the Lord, there will be a negative animosity to false religion. I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right. Therefore, I hate every false way. And this applies to all false religion. We cannot know Christ and be positive, for example, about Islam. If someone thinks Islam is okay, then they don't know the Saviour. They don't know the glory and beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that the knowledge of Christ produces a negative disposition towards false religion. There must be a zeal against false religion. And biblical Christianity is not purely positive. Psalm 1 is negative as well as positive. And biblical Christianity is exclusive. Neither is there any name given among men from under heaven whereby we must be saved. Jesus Christ. And therefore we oppose all imposture. So we must keep that in mind. We cannot be purely positive. And the people were not purely positive. They opposed false religion. Love to the Lord means that we are against false religion. Secondly, negative reformation is not enough. Verse 2. And Hezekiah appointed the courses of the priests and the Levites after their courses, every man according to his service, the priests and the Levites for burnt offerings and for peace offerings, to minister and to give thanks and to praise in the gates of the tents of the Lord. He appointed also the king's portion of his substance for the burnt offerings, to wit, for the morning and evening burnt offerings, and the burnt offerings for the Sabbaths and for the new moons and for the set feasts, as it is written in the law of the Lord. Moreover, he commanded the people that dwelt in Jerusalem to give the portion of the priests and the Levites, that they might be encouraged in the law of the Lord. The Levites were one of the 12 tribes, as you know, and were appointed to a number of, variety of functions connected with the worship of God and the ceremonial worship in particular. And within the tribe of Levi, the sons of Aaron were God's appointed priesthood. And what we find is that they were appointed by Hezekiah and organized so that the worship of God could take place. And he organized their appointed material support. Verse 4, he commanded the people that dwelt in Jerusalem to give the portion that of the priests and Levites, that they might be encouraged in the law of the Lord. He made sure that these men were supported as God had appointed, so that they could devote themselves cheerfully and without distraction to this work of the Lord. You have this referred to in 1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 13. 1 Corinthians 9 verse 13. Do ye not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple, and they which wait on the altar, at the altar, are partakers with the altar? Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. And the Apostle Paul applies the principle of the support given to the priests and Levites to the support that should be given to the ministers of the word. But what we must especially notice is that it wasn't enough to get rid of the false religion. It was essential that that be done. Absolutely essential. that false religion did not coexist with the true. But the gap had to be filled with the true and regular appointed worship of God. So Hezekiah followed King David's example in reordering all these things. Negativity is essential, but it is not enough. And that's true to this day. You cannot sustain a church simply by being against things. We must be against things, things that are wrong, but there must also be the positive preaching of the gospel of Christ. Jesus Christ evidently set forth, crucified among you. It's not enough to be against things. There must be the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So however necessary it is to be against things, and it is necessary in a day when many pretend that that we can be only positive, we must be negative and positive. We must be both. And the false religion was cleared out, and Hezekiah made sure that the true religion, the true ordinances, were established according to the word of God. Then thirdly, the Lord gives a willing people. The Lord gives a willing people. Verse 5, right down to verse 10. We'll read verse 5. And as soon as the commandment came abroad, the children of Israel brought in abundance the first fruits of corn, wine, and oil, and honey, and of all the increase of the field, and the tithe of all things brought they in abundantly. They obeyed Numbers 18. In Numbers 18, the children of Israel were told that the first fruits of the land were to be given to the priests. In Numbers 18, you find that in verse 8 to verse 13. Then the tithes were to be given to the Levites. That's in Numbers 18, verse 21. And the Levites were to give a tithe of their tithes received to the priests. That's in Numbers 18, 25 to 32. And so what they were doing was organizing so that the people could give the necessary support to the priests and Levites. And even those of the northern tribes living in Judah also responded to the appeal. Verse 6, and concerning the children of Israel and Judah that dwelt in the cities of Judah, they also brought in the tithe of oxen and sheep and the tithe of holy things which were consecrated unto the Lord their God and laid them by heaps. So the children of Israel and Judah, those of the northern kingdom, the 10 tribes that had rebelled against the house of David, there were many of them who dwelt in Judah because of their loyalty to the true worship of God. And they too gave of their substance. The result was that the priests and Levites would be able to devote themselves to the ministry of the temple and to teach the law of the Lord. Just as today, ministers need to be free to give themselves to the ministry of the word. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 4. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. But then verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Then chapter 4, verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." So the minister of the word is to give himself to preaching, and he is to be freed in order to do that, to give himself to the word of God and to prayer. And the Lord blessed with an abundance. The Lord blessed an abundance from which this people who'd been made willing by his Spirit brought tithes that were more than enough. Verse 10, "And Azariah, the chief priest of the house of Zadok, answered him and said, 'Since the people began to bring the offerings into the house of the Lord, we have had enough to eat and have plenty, for the Lord hath blessed his people, and that which is left is this great store.'" The people were made willing by the Spirit of God, and God blessed this willing people with an abundant harvest, of which the tithe was brought to the priests and Levites and was a superabundance. And the people of Ezra's day needed to be reminded of this part of church history. In Nehemiah chapter 13, Nehemiah chapter 13, Nehemiah 13 and verse 10 and 11, "And I perceived that the portions of the Levites had not been given them, for the Levites and the singers that did the work were fled every one to his field. Then contended I with the rulers and said, 'Why is the house of God forsaken?' And I gathered them together and set them in their place." And Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. Malachi 3 and verse 10. "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, and there shall not be room enough to receive it." That had happened in Hezekiah's day, that the Lord had stirred up the people by his Spirit, and he blessed them with such abundance that the tithe was more than the priests and Levites could and the officers could cope with. God was fulfilling his word then, and he would do it again in the time of Malachi, in the time of Nehemiah and Ezra, if by his Spirit they heard his voice. Fourthly, returning to the old paths. Returning to the old paths. Verse 11 down to verse 19. Verse 11 reads, "Then Hezekiah commanded to prepare chambers in the house of the Lord, and they prepared them, and brought in the offerings and the tithes and the dedicated things faithfully, over which Conaniah the Levite was ruler, and Shimei his brother was the next." And on down to verse 19, this administration was put in place. But what we notice is that Hezekiah was leading back to the old paths, not to some big new thing. All his arrangements were with a view to the observance of the appointed worship of God. So this administration which he set up was simply to ensure that the original biblical order and worship was effectively observed. He prepared storehouses for the tithes in verse 11. He appointed Conaniah to have charge over several others for the administration of the goods. He appointed an officer to report directly to himself so that he knew what was going on. And then a group of distributors, verse 14 and 15, who were to ensure that all the serving priests and retired priests received their portion. And he included the young sons of the priests, verse 16, beside their genealogy of males, that is, their offspring of males, from 3 years old and upward, even unto everyone that entereth into the house of the Lord, his daily portion for their service in their charges, according to their courses. Even the three-year-olds and upwards were to learn the work of the priests and to follow in the footsteps of young Samuel. But the Levites had to wait till they were 20, the rest of the Levites, verse 17, both the genealogy, the offspring, the descendants of the priests by the house of their fathers, and the Levites from 20 years old and upward in their charges by their courses. And they were to be given enough that they could support their families, verse 18, and to the genealogy of all their little ones, their wives and their sons and their daughters, through all the congregation, for in their set office they sanctified themselves in holiness. They were to be given enough to support their families. Their income had to be enough to support their households. We mentioned on the Lord's Day at the after church, 1 Timothy 5, verse 8, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith, and is worse than an infidel. And so, if they didn't receive enough to support their families, they would still have to work in the field to do so. So they had to be given enough to support themselves and their families so as to be able to give themselves to this work. But the people were taken back to the original ordinances of the Lord. And even those Levites who taught the Lord in the country villages outside the city were not to be missed out, verse 19. Also of the sons of Aaron the priests, which were in the fields of the suburbs of their cities, in every several city, the men that were expressed by name to give portions to all the males among the priests and to all that were reckoned by genealogies among the Levites. And all this was faithfully done so that the worship of God according to the original ordinances could take place. They weren't funding some bright new vision for the worship of God. They were going back to what God himself had appointed. And the purpose of all this, this administration, was so that the ordinances appointed by God could be engaged in. And they were faithful. We know 1 Corinthians 4:2, it is required of a steward that he be found faithful. And the faithful servant in Matthew 25:21 is told, thou hast been faithful in a few things, have dominion over many things. And the Lord requires faithfulness, whether our responsibility is for big things or little things. We must be faithful to the Lord. So all this was done so that the true appointed worship could take place. So the church today doesn't need new ideas, innovation in worship, but needs to return to biblical worship, and everything should be geared towards that. Fifthly, a wonderful example A wonderful example, verse 20. And thus did Hezekiah throughout all Judah, and wrought that which was good and right and truth before the Lord his God. And in every work that he began, in the service of the house of God, and in the law, and in the commandments, to seek his God, he did it with all his heart, and prospered. Hezekiah acted faithfully. Some might say this was a rigid regimentation. But he meant business. And so he organized it efficiently. And the result was honoring to God. The Lord viewed it as being good and right and truth or faithful before the Lord his God. Verse 19. There's nothing spiritual about sloppiness. And Hezekiah organized it so that the worship of God would take place according to God's word. If that meant something that looked like regimentation, so be it. It was the work of the Spirit in Hezekiah that caused him to do this. And we're told that he was wholehearted, that he entered into it with all his heart, there in verse 21. To seek his God, he did it with all his heart and prospered. Self-discipline and faithfulness are not in conflict. Devotion to the Lord will produce disciplined faithfulness. Fervent in business, serving the Lord. And God blessed that godly example to the people. It was a work of the Spirit, because Hezekiah certainly could have tried to set an example, and no doubt would have done, which the people would hardly follow. But so many heartily followed, because it was the work of the Spirit. Well, the lessons are simple. Firstly, let our zeal be always to get back to the Scriptures, to the Word of God. That's where our zeal should be directed. Not to back our ideas or someone else's ideas, but the Word of God. We should be zealously affected in a good thing, scripturalness. Secondly, let us seek to be faithful, and seek to be faithful in practicalities and in little things, because it honors the Lord. We should not say that because something is a minor matter and we don't think it makes a lot of difference, that it doesn't matter. We should seek to be faithful to the Lord in all things. Then thirdly, let us pray for a day when young and old, high and low, ministers, elders, people, all give themselves willingly to the Lord and say, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me?" That's what people were like in Hezekiah's day. That's what they needed to be like in Ezra and Nehemiah and Malachi's day. That's why the prophets stirred up the people. That's why Haggai said, that when the people were making pious excuses and said, the time is not ripe. It's not the right time to rebuild the house of the Lord. And Haggai says, is the time right for you to be built, to live in sealed houses? In other words, the time was right for their own houses, but they didn't care about the house of the Lord. And they were rebuked, and yet Zechariah preached comfortable words. There was rebuke, but there was encouragement, because they needed to be like the days of Hezekiah, and to follow the Lord, to devote themselves to the Lord. And if that's how they needed to be in Nehemiah and Ezra's day, that's how we need to be today. And let us pray to that end. Amen.